One mind, one world, ladies, gentlemen, aliens alike. This is part three of my dictation of the Ghislaine Maxwell files / Epstein files. They're recently unsealed documents. And I'll actually share my screen this time, unless people want to see me up close and personal. But let's just do this. Yeah, let's do that. I've never used this video format before, so let's just get right into it. This is Exhibit J. Ooh, we got an email from Virginia to her lawyer, Brad. Hello, please see below message from a paper in London. I don't know how they got this info. It's a bit frightening to me. What do you think? Thanks, Jenna. I wonder why she signs it Jenna. Question, Duke of York over sex abuser, says victim. The Duke of York knows the truth about the sexual abuse of underage girls by his friend Epstein and should be made to testify about him, a former quote-unquote sex slave of the billionaire financiers claimed. Looks like somebody did some hacking into Virginia Roberts' life. Okay, we all know that already. Oh, I didn't know this one. Look at this. Okay, yeah, we saw the picture of them walking in Central Park, but it says, it was later claimed that the Duke was asking Epstein to help pay 15,000 quid of the debts of his former wife. That's like nothing to a royal. 15,000 quid? Okay. Next email. Sorry it took so long to reply. My computer was frozen. Thank you for sending me this. So this is from Virginia to Sharon Churcher. I found the Telecon review and it says nothing about being a sworn statement or testimony. And whoever published that article took the phrase about redacted straight out of my captions. Not cool. Anyways, I'm sending this to Brad right now. Many thanks. Hi, Brad. I'm very upset about the fact that a purported account of an off-the-cuff conversation I believed was confidential has been filed without my knowledge or approval into a court of law. I understood, and her email address is redacted, that all conversations between us were governed by attorney-client privilege. Please advise me if this is correct. I recall telling you, Mr. Scarola, I do not wish to be involved in the proceedings in which my purported statement has been filed. I thought when you put me on the phone to him that I was giving him some confidential help as a favor to you. I am grateful for your decision to accept me as a client, but I must ask that the purported statement be withdrawn from record. If you continue to represent me, and I do hope that you will, I must request that you inform me in writing of any filings in which my name is involved and then send me prior to reviews so I can ensure they are accurate. Another email. This is from Virginia again to Sharon Churchard. Too late, but I don't think he'll catch on it anyways. I changed a few words around so it sounds more like an unprofessional 20-something-year-old. Let's see what he sends back. We'll let you know. Thanks, Maddie. Why does she sign it Jenna? Maybe that's what her friends call her? Her computer gets frozen a lot. That's the same email I just read. Okay, so that was it for J. Exhibit K, Joffrey versus Maxwell. Deposition, Virginia Joffrey. This is a few months after her first deposition in May, the 3rd of May, 2016. Okay. Do you recall whether you shared with Sharon Churcher anything that you had discussed with your attorney, Mr. Edwards, in relation to what, like, have I identified people to her? Yes, right. Okay, so you identified people to her and then you looped back to her about your conversations with Mr. Edwards, correct? Mr. Edwards, object to the form. I'm sorry, can you rephrase? I don't understand. All right, so you were emailing with her, getting her advice about whether or not to sell your redacted picture to Vanity Fair. And Miss Menninger is the one questioning Virginia. Virginia says, right. She asked you to run some info by Brad. Believe there was, and this is just going off my record collection. Says, and then Virginia says, I believe there was a time when she was, oh God, I can't remember. I really can't remember. I don't want to say anything without looking at that exact email. Do you have to it to show me? Do you have it to show me? Well, I'm sure it's probably in there, but I don't want to take the time to look for it now. So I understand you're just repeating what you recall from your memory. Yes, and it may not be accurate because you're not looking at the document. I've got that caveat. What do you recall just as you're sitting there? Virginia says, I know there was emails that Sharon sent to me suggesting to say to Brad Edwards. I know that. I don't remember or recall exactly what was in those statements. Okay, and did you send those emails to Mr. Edwards as you recall today? Virginia says, I don't know, I'm sorry. Menninger says, and do you know if you went back to Sharon? She says, yes. Edwards, and you said that you were going to do that. Oh, I skipped that, my bad. And then you spoke to Mr. Edwards, correct. I don't know if I spoke to him or I emailed him. Okay, and then do you report back to Sharon Churcher what you had discussed with Mr. Edwards? Not too sure. Like I said, going back to the 2011 emails, look at this pile here. It's impossible for me to know. So you were having a lot of communications with Sharon Churcher in 2011, correct? Yes. Okay. Okay, so Sharon Churcher is the journalist. Okay, continuing on. And do you know if you went back to Sharon Churcher and told her about the conversations or emails you had with Mr. Edwards? Some of them, I'm sure, yes. Because you were in fairly regular contact with Sharon Churcher at that time, correct? Right, at the time. All right, I want to introduce you to Defendant's Exhibit 26. Miss Menninger continues. Have you seen this document before? I don't know if I've seen this specific document before, but I've seen something close to it, I think. All right, and do you see the date on the document? March 10th, 2011. March 9th? I see March 10th. Sorry. London, March 10th, 2011. Mr. Edwards, both dates are there. Menninger, I'm sure they are. I'm just not seeing the one you're seeing. Deponent, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, that's the end of that deposition. At least the transcript we have from it. I'm sure there's way more that was not included. Here we have the United States District Court, the Southern District of New York, Virginia Joffrey versus Delaine Maxwell, the non-redacted declaration of Sigrid S. McCauley in support of plaintiff's motion to exceed presumptive 10 deposition limit. So, formalities, I'm a partner with the law firm, yada yada. I'm appearing pro hac vice. Again, pro hac vice means that you basically just have permission as an attorney to practice jurisprudence outside your licensed district. And these numbers just basically say that attached hitherto is the exhibits signed by McCrawley at the end, respectfully submitted by all of her attorneys, Cassell, Edwards, Boies, and McCrawley. Formality, formality. Again, another formality. More declarations of exhibits attached hitherto. Formality, certificate of service. Exhibit 2 filed under seal. Ooh, we might get to some good stuff here. This is from the United States District Court, Southern District of Florida. Jane Doe number 1 and Jane Doe number 2 versus the United States of America. Jane Doe number 3 and Jane Doe number 4's corrected motion pursuant to Rule 21 for joinder in action. The new victims, number 3 and number 4, Jane Doe's buy-in through undersigned counsel to file this motion pursuant to Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 21 on the condition they did not relitigate any issues already litigated by Jane Doe's 1 and 2. Again, the new victims have suffered the same violations under the Crime Victims' Rights Act. Okay. As the court is aware, more than 6 years ago, Jane Doe number 1 filed the present action. Now I'm on the second year, page 87. The present action against the government alleging a violation of her rights under the CVRA. She alleged that Jeffrey Epstein had sexually abused her and that the United States had entered into a secret NPA, non-prosecution agreement, regarding those crimes in violation of her rights. At the first court hearing on the case, the court allowed Jane Doe number 2 to also join the action. Both Jane Doe's 1 and 2 specifically argued that the government had failed to protect their CVRA rights. In response, the government argued that the CVRA rights did not apply to Jane Doe's 1 and 2 because no federal charges had ever been filed against Epstein. That's like the CIA investigating themselves and finding themselves innocent. Yeah, we didn't file any charges against Epstein, so therefore, you don't have any rights. The court has firmly rejected the United States' position. In a detailed ruling, the court concluded that CVRA extended rights to Jane Doe's 1 and 2. Okay, I actually already read this. This is not new. Okay, and this is Jane Doe 3. Okay, yeah, this is a repeat of a previous one that I actually read last time. I don't know why it's repeated, but it's just the, it's in part 2 if you want to see it. It basically just goes over Jane Doe 3 being approached by Ghislaine Maxwell, being invited to the mansion, getting a massage, getting accosted sexually. And again, Jane Doe 3 is Miss Joffrey, being her sex slave from 99, he's his sex slave from 99 to 02 in West Palm Beach, New York, New Mexico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, in international airspace on his planes, that is Epstein's. And it goes on to say how he lended out these girls. Again, I already went over this in number 2. I don't know why it's repeated. He would bring young girls ranging to ages as young as 12 to farm out for blackmailing, political power, financial power. Yeah, again, this is, so I'm gonna scroll down. I already went over this one. Don't know why. Yeah, so basically it just concludes that Jane Doe's 3 and 4 should be allowed to join this action. That is the action they filed under the Civil Crime Victim Rights Act, right? So let's move on. Exhibit 11. Okay, and this is further documentation from her deposition on the 3rd of May, 2016. That is Joffrey versus Maxwell, and Joffrey's been deposed. When do you know, and do you know when this document was filed? And actually, just to be clear, about halfway, there's actually a second document that was filed. So this is a composite exhibit. Let me be very clear. So after page 13, there's a second document that is styled Jane Doe number 3 and Jane Doe number 4's corrected motion pursuant to Rule 21 for joinder and action. Do you see that? Do you say for page 14? It's on the 14th page of this document. Do you see that? I do. And so this composite exhibit 2 has both a motion and a corrected motion. Do you see that? Yes. And were both of those pleadings authorized by you to be filed? Yes. In other words, you wanted to join the CVRA action in or about December 30th, 2014, correct? Wow, this has been going on for so long. Virginia responds, I'm not aware of the exact dates. There's no dates on this, but I did try to join the motion. Yes. All right. If you can look up at the top of the document, yes. Does it say entered on FLSD? Oh, it does too. I'm sorry. Yes. Why are you apologizing? That's all right. So does that refresh your memory as to when you first sought to join the CVRA action? Yes, December 30th, 2014, correct? Yes. And then the corrected motion was filed a few days later, correct? Yes, correct. And if I could turn to Defendant's Exhibit 3, which was January the 21st. Mr. Edwards says thank you, like a polite lawyer should. Do you recognize this document? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Oh, we're getting some juicy stuff here. Do you recall any physical features of Ghislaine Maxwell? I can tell you that she had very large natural breasts. I can tell you that her pubic hair was dark brown, nearly black. I don't remember any specific birthmarks or moles that I could point out that would be relevant. Any scar? I don't remember any scars. Any tattoos? No tattoos. When did you go to the El Brio house? I believe it would have been the next day. You believe it would have been or was it? Mr. Edwards, form. I know that it was consecutive, that I continued to go there after the first time that the abuse took place there. It was consecutive that I was there, I believe, over the next course of weeks. Menninger. What day of the week was the first time you went? I don't know. Do you know whether you went the very next day or not? I believe I did. All right. How did you get there the next day? Form, says Edwards. I believe my dad dropped me off again. What the hell? Menninger says, when you say you believe, do you recall him doing that or are you guessing? I don't. Well, this is how I figure this. I don't remember Ghislaine picking me up from Mar-a-Lago. I didn't have my own car. So the only way I could have really gotten there would have been my dad picking me up. Dropping me off. Do you have a distinct recollection of your father dropping you off more than one day in a row? Yes. Do you recall the car he was driving? Like I said, he always drove trucks. That's as good as I can get. And you worked on weekends as well at Mar-a-Lago, or no? No. So the second day would have had to be, I wouldn't say directly. I'd say I stayed with my parents for I think I finished school at Crestwood. So I don't know, I would have been in, eighth grade, and then around eighth grade. How do you not remember this? Sorry. I'll keep my opinions to myself. I'll try it to you anyway. You went to Growing Together. I think it was that. And how many years did you live at Growing Together? Over a year. Were you ever in foster care? What Growing Together was like a group home that sent you away to foster parents every night. So you lived in other people's homes during the time of period you were assigned to Growing Together. Well, you stayed at Growing Together during the day, and then at night you get sent home with parents. Did you go to school while you were there at Growing Together? Yeah, they offer education there. So the education was at Growing Together.
Yeah.
You did not attend a Palm Beach County. I did, but you had to earn your levels up to be able to go outside. So I don't remember what level you have to get up to go out to another school. I think there was like 7 levels or something, and you had to make it to like level 4 to be able to go to an outside school. So for some period of time, you were assigned to Growing Together, and you're going to school at Growing Together. And for some period of time, you were going to other schools and coming back to Growing Together. Correct. Okay, you were slept at Growing Together. I'm going to move forward a little bit. Okay, here's... Okay, and on line box 23, it's got your driver's license checked off, right? So this is referring to the document she filled out for her first passport. July 23rd, it says Virginia. Yeah, I really can't make out. And when they say massage, that means erotic, okay? That's their term for it. I think there are plenty of other witnesses who can attest to what massage actually means. And I'm telling you that Ghislaine told me to go to Redacted and give him a massage, which means sex. Okay, so Redacted. Ghislaine Maxwell told you to give a massage to Redacted. Correct. That's your testimony. That is my testimony. All right. Ghislaine Maxwell told you to go give a massage to Redacted. Correct? Correct. Ghislaine Maxwell told you to give a massage to Redacted. Correct? Correct. Ghislaine Maxwell told you to give a massage to Redacted. Correct? When did Ghislaine Maxwell tell you to give a massage to Redacted? I don't know dates. Where were you when it happened? Oh my goodness, look at that. Looks like they forgot to do that one. When it happened, when Ghislaine Maxwell used the words, go give a massage to Bill Richardson. Where were you? Object to the form, mischaracterizes her testimony, says Mr. Edwards. I can't tell you where we were. I know where I was sent to. I don't know where we were when she told me to do that. Where were you sent to? New Mexico. By Ghislaine Maxwell. Object to the form. Mischaracterizes her testimony again. And Virginia says, are you smiling at me? Because, no, I'm asking you to answer the question. I have answered the question. I was sent to Mexico. To New Mexico. I can feel the tension through the paper. Okay. Where were you sent from? I already answered that. I don't know where I was sent from. I don't understand how she can't remember this stuff. I was flying everywhere with these people. Where were you sent by Ghislaine to have sex with Redacted? Object to the form mischaracterizes her testimony. Many places, says Virginia. Ghislaine Maxwell sent you to many places to have sex with Redacted. Object to the form. It happened at many places. Yes. Miss Manager, you had sex with Redacted at many places. Is that what you're saying? I was sent to Redacted at many places to have sex with him. When did Ghislaine Maxwell send you to place to have sex with Redacted? You were asking Mr. Edwards form me to answer the impossible, finishes Virginia. All right. When did Ghislaine Maxwell send you to have sex with the owner of a large hotel chain? Who would that be? Object to the form, mischaracterization, Mr. Edwards says. I'm going to keep answering the questions the same way that I keep answering them, says Virginia. I don't know where it was when she said to go do this. Manager, okay, where were you sent to have sex with the owner of a large hotel chain by Ghislaine Maxwell? Object to the form, I believe that was one time in France. which time in France? I believe it was around the same time that Naomi Campbell had a birthday party. Where did you have sex with the owner of a large hotel chain in France around the time of Naomi Campbell's birthday party? His own cabana townhouse thing. It was part of a hotel, but I wouldn't call it a hotel. Jeffrey was staying there. Colleen was staying there. Emmy was staying there. I was staying there. The other guy was staying there. I don't know his name. I was instructed by Ghislaine to go and give him an erotic massage. Where did I lost that? Oh. She used the words erotic massage. No, that's my word. The word massage is what they would use. That's their code word. Was she in the room when you gave this erotic massage to the owner of a large hotel chain? No, she was not in the room. She was in another cabana. And other than telling you to go give the owner of this large hotel chain a massage, do you remember any other words she used to you to direct you in what you should do? Not at the time, no. Where were you and where was Ms. Maxwell when she directed you to go have sex with Marvin Minsky? I don't actually know who that is. Give me a second, people. He was, he's dead. Marvin Lee Minsky was an American cognitive scientist concerned largely with research of artificial intelligence, co-founder of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's AI Laboratory, and author of several texts concerning AI and philosophy. So he was an MIT scientist. Interesting. Object to the form, Mr. Edwards, I don't know. Where did you go to have sex with Marvin Minsky? I believe it was the U.S. Virgin Islands. Jeffrey Epstein's island in the Virgin Islands. And when was that? I don't know. Do you have any time of year? No. Do you know how old you were? No. Other than Glenn Dubin, Stephen Kaufman, Prince Andrew, Jean-Luc Bonnell, Bill Richardson, another prince, the large hotel chain owner, and Marvin Minsky, is there anyone else that Ghislaine Maxwell directed you to have sex with? Okay, who is Stephen Kaufman? Bear with me. I don't know all these famous people. Oh, is he an attorney? I think. I'm definitely sure there is, but can I remember everybody's name? No. Okay, can you remember anything else about them? Look, I've given you what I know right now. Sorry, this is very hard for me and very frustrating to have to go over this. I don't recall all of the people. There was a large amount of people that I was sent to. Do you have any notes of all these people that you were sent to? No, I don't. Where are your notes? I burned them. Why would you burn them? When did you burn them? In a bonfire when I lived at Titusville because I was sick of going through this shit. Did you have lawyers who were representing you at the time you built a bonfire and burned these notes? I've been represented for a long time, but it was not under the instruction of my lawyers to do this. My husband and I were pretty spiritual people, and we believe that these memories were worth burning. So you burn notes of the men with whom you had sex while you were represented by counsel in litigation, correct? Object to the form. This wasn't anything that was a public document. This was my own private journal, and I didn't want it anymore, so we burned it. When did you write the journal? Just over time. I started writing it probably in, I don't know, I can't speculate, 2012, 2011. So did you write this journal at the time it happened? No. You started writing this journal approximately a decade after you claim you finished being sexually trafficked, correct? Yes. And you started writing a journal after you had a lawyer, correct? Correct. Sip. What did the journal look like? It was green. And what else? It was just a spiral notebook. And what did you put in the journal? The green spiral notebook. Bad memories, things that I've gone through. Lots of things, you know. I can't tell you. There's a lot of pages. It was over 300 pages in that book. Did you ever show that book to your lawyers? No. Did you show that book to anyone? No. Did you show that, my husband? Did you show that to anyone else besides your husband? No. Did you tear out pages and give them to Sharon Churcher? Again, Sharon Churcher is the journalist. No, I wrote those pages that you're talking about. I wrote for her specifically. She wanted to know about the Prince Andrew incident. So that's just a different piece of paper. Yeah, that's just random paper. So a green spiral notebook that you began sometime in 2011 or 2012, in which you wrote down your recollections about what had happened to you. And you burned that in a fire in 2013. Did I get that right? You got that right. And do you have no other names of people to whom you claim Ghislaine Maxwell directed you to have sex? Correct? That is not correct English. Lawyer. At this time, no. Was there any document that would refresh your recollection that you could look at? If you have a document you'd like to show me, I would be glad to look at it and tell you the names I recognize off of that. I'm just asking if there's a document to know of that has the list of names in it. Not in front of me. No. Where's the original of the photograph that has been widely circulated in the press of you with Prince Andrew? I probably still have it. It's not in my possession right now. Probably in some storage boxes. Where? In Sydney. Where in Sydney? At some family's house. We got the boxes shipped to Australia, and they were picked up off the porch by my nephews and brought to their house. Which is where? In Sydney. Where in Sydney? Redacted. And who lives in that house? Well, it's owned by my mother-in-law and father-in-law, but my nephews live in the house. What are their names? I'm not giving you the names of my nephews. What's the address of the house? Why would you want that? I want to know where the photograph is. I'm asking you where the photograph is, and you just told me it's somewhere in Redacted. Yes. So where in Redacted is the photograph located? If I can't 100% say that the photograph is there, it could be at my house that I presently live in. I'm not going to give you the address of my nephew's residence. When is the last time you saw the photograph in person? When I packed and left America. Colorado? Yes. All right. So you have that photograph here with you in Colorado? Yes. What's on the back of the photograph? Sorry? Is there anything on the back of the photograph? It's like the date it was printed, but no writing or anything. Okay. Does it say where it was printed? I don't believe so. I just remember there's a date on it. Whose camera was it taken with? My little yellow Kodak camera. Who took the picture? Jeffrey Epstein. And where did you have it developed? I believe when I got back to America. So where? I don't know. Palm Beach? I don't know. What is the date the photograph was printed? I believe it's in March of 2001. Okay. But that's just off of my photographic memory. It could be different, but I think it's, sorry. I think it's March 2001. You have a photographic memory? I'm not saying I have a photographic memory, but if I look at the back of the photo and remember what it says, I believe it was March 2001. Did the photograph ever leave your possession for a while? I gave it to the FBI. Okay, and when did you get back? When they took copies of it. When was that? 2011. When they came to interview you? Yes. So from 2011 until you left Colorado, it was in your personal possession. Yes. What other documents related to this case are in that storage boxes in Australia? Mr. Edwards interjects, object to the form. Documents related to this case. I don't know. I can't really tell you. I mean, there's 7 boxes full of Nerf guns, my kids' toys, photos. I don't know what other documents would be in there. Menninger continues. Did anyone search those documents after you received discovery requests from us in this case? I haven't been able to obtain those boxes. I can't get them sent back up to me. It's going to cost me a large amount of money. And right now, I'm trying to look after my family, so I'm not able to afford to get them up. You live in Australia, correct? I do. Okay, looks like it skips ahead. Menninger, we're going off the record. Edwards, yeah, that's fine. She'll read. Videographer, that includes today's proceedings. We're off the record at 5:28. The videographer, it's like that guy who's like, they just put you in the play just to make you feel good. And you get like one line. And that's the videographer. Okay. Exhibit 13 filed under seal. Sip. Excuse me. Emmett has a question. Continuing, Exhibit 13. United States District Court, Southern District, New York. Virginia L. Joffrey versus the defendant, Ghislaine Maxwell. Looks like we have the affidavit formalities stating when she started discussions with her attorneys to represent her on the CVRA action, which we went over. She also goes on to say she did not authorize her attorneys to disclose communications in their case versus Dershowitz. 14. In the Circuit Court of the 17th Judicial Circuit in and for Broward County, Florida. Edwards and Cassell, the plaintiffs, versus Alan Dershowitz. And this time, it is Paul Cassell who was being deposed. Again, he is one of Virginia's attorneys. Okay. Had any other young woman told you she had been abused? Redacted. Cassell answers, no other young woman told me that, no. As of that date, had anyone told you that redacted, had abused other minors? Had, Ms. McCauley interjects, I'm going to object for a moment here to the extent that you're going to be answering a question that requires you to divulge any attorney-client communication with Virginia Roberts. I have a standing objection that I'm putting on the record now. Virginia Roberts does not waive her attorney-client privilege with her lawyers, and they are not entitled to testify as to information that she intended to be confidential, that she communicated to her lawyers. Scarola, and I would instruct you not to answer the question on that basis. Simpson says, all right. So Simpson is the deposer. And again, Cassell's the deposant. I disagree with the position and the privilege, but I will. You're going to follow the instruction not to answer those questions? Question mark. I am. Okay, I want to put then aside Virginia Roberts. Had anyone else, as of the 30th of December, 2014, told you that Redacted had abused any minor other than Virginia Roberts? Assuming that's Jeffrey Epstein. No one other than no other person told me that directly, no. And when you say no other person, I'm including not just anyone any victims of Mr. Epstein, but anyone else. No one had said to you, I have knowledge that Redacted abused a minor other than Virginia Epstein. Is that correct? Scarola, let me ask you for interjected is Cassell. That's all you have? Obviously not. Simpson, okay. Scarola, thank you. Simpson, we'll break then. Videographer gets this one line. We're going off the video record. Deposition adjourned. Exhibit 15, page 131. Telecon. Participants, Jack Scarola, Brad Edwards, Virginia Roberts. Scarola, Edwards, Roberts. Okay. Okay, Scarola says, Virginia, Jack Scarola, and Brad Edwards. Edwards, hi, Virginia. Virginia, hi, Jack. Brad, how are you guys doing? Scarola, we're doing fine. Thank you. I'm sorry for all the trouble. And before we go any further, let me tell you. If I have your permission, I've started a tape recorder, and I want to be able to tape this conversation from the very beginning. Is that all right with you? Sure, that's fine, Jack. No problem, says Virginia. Scarola says, okay, good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let me start off by introducing myself. I know that Brad has spoken to you about me, but I am Brad's lawyer, and I assume that you can confirm that you have never had any communication before. Is that right? So again, Scarola, somewhat confusing. Edwards is one of Virginia's lawyers. Scarola is Edwards' lawyer. Okay, all right. I have, however, says Scarola, gotten some information from Brad about conversations that you have had with him, and that will enable me, hopefully, to make this a little bit more efficient and take up a minimum amount of your time while still getting the information. While still getting the information that we think is going to be helpful to us and to any jury that might ultimately have to hear these facts. What is your full name? Virginia Louise Roberts is my maiden name. My married name is Virginia Louise Joffrey. Why did they redact that? I don't know. That is your married last name. All right, thank you. And where are you living now? I live in Australia. How long have you resided in Australia? This is my 19th year. We reached you in Australia for this phone conversation. Is that correct? That is correct. What time is it in Australia now? I think it's about 9 o'clock. Okay, that's 9 a.m., correct? That's correct. Okay, it is for this conversation our understanding that you know a man by the name Jeffrey Epstein. I want to begin by asking you, please, to tell us about the circumstances of your first meeting, Mr. Epstein. I was introduced to Mr. Epstein by Ghislaine Maxwell. I was working at Donald Trump's spa in Mar-a-Lago, and I was prompted by Ghislaine to come to Jeffrey's mansion in Palm Beach that afternoon after work to make some extra money and to learn about massage. She met me at the spa, and I was reading a book about anatomy, so I was already interested in massage therapy as it was, and not having any of the education or, you know, anything behind me. I thought it was a great opportunity to work for her and go. So I went to Jeffrey's mansion about 5 or 6 in the afternoon. My dad drove me there. My dad worked at Mar-a-Lago with me, and he met Ghislaine. And she seemed like a nice, proper English lady. And she knows, I mean, you know, one time then, once before I left to travel overseas, she just seemed really nice and like she would like to help me out. So my dad left. So my dad left. And I had no problem getting home that night. One of her drivers would take me back after my trial. So she led me upstairs and into Jeffrey's bedroom and past his massage room, which has got the steam room and shower and a massage table. And there's actually an extra room that has that nobody knows about. It's kind of like a secret room. And it's got a whole bunch of decorative pictures of pornographic literature and sex toys, and I can question mark what happened in there. When you say the room was hidden, Virginia, how was the room concealed? It wasn't like a door that you would normally go into, some kind of special opening. You open that and then a little door, so it looks like it's a little closet, so to speak. But when you walk in there, it's obviously a lot bigger than just a closet. It wasn't too big, but it was bigger, you know. It wasn't a gigantic room. It was just like a small room. Which, you know, it probably could fit some shoes in there. It had racks of shoes, boxes, some sweatshirts neatly folded. Jufre. Okay, now I know. Jufre. And to the ceiling, the floor was covered in pornographic pictures of the girls that he had met. When you say, so anyways, I was getting there and I was introduced to Jeffrey. He was laying. That's incorrect. It's supposed to be lying. Naked on top of the massage table. And obviously, for one, I'm a 15-year-old girl. Okay, so she was 15. I thought she was 17. And seeing him on the table was weird, but also learning about anatomy and massage, I thought this would be part of it. So obviously, I thought it was part of the massage program. So I said, okay, this is fine. And then he instructed me how to touch the body, how to massage him. And for the first hour is actually a real massage, maybe not an hour, maybe like 40 minutes or something. But of something like that. And that's when he turned over on the other side and to expose himself fully. So when Ghislaine told me that she wanted me to undress, began to take off my shirt and skirt, my white uniform from Mar-a-Lago, she also took off her shirt and got undressed. And so I was there with just my undies on, and she was completely bare and made some kind of little flake about the underwear that I was wearing, because it wasn't my normal sexy girl underwear, and just like, I don't know, had red hearts on it or something like that. Just your normal, you know, real cute underwear. Anyways, so during all this, I'm kind of like, what's going on? How do I act? What do I say? I was so fearful for my life, but unsure of how all this started and wanting to obtain a profession. I was so afraid thinking about upsetting and disappointing them. I don't know, it's a weird situation by far. And I was expected to lick his nipples, instructed on how to do so by J.E., and give him oral sex while he wanted to fondle me. And then at the end, I was told by Ghislaine to get on top and straddle Jeffrey sexually. Give me a sec. And when we were done, we went and had a shower in the room. And Jeffrey told me to wash him up and down, you know, with a bar of soap and make sure he was all cleaned up. And then he took me downstairs and took me to two of the guards and told John to bring me home. John was the butler at the time. I think he was the butler that's now dead, if I'm not mistaken. And the butler knows everything. The butler always knows everything. Okay, continuing. Scarola, let me just interrupt you for a moment, if I could, Virginia. You mentioned as you were recounting those details that you were 15 years old at the time. What is your date of birth? August the 9th, 1983. And can you tell me, please, as best you're able to estimate it, what was the date when this first encounter occurred? I got it written down. It's like I'm not good with math. Hold on. I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't. I think it was around 1998 off the top of my head, and around June of 1998, I would say I was turning 16 at the end of the summer. All right. We talked about the room where Jeffrey had the pornographic photographs. Did you actually see that room on the occasion of your first visit there? No, I got to see that room a few visits after, but I was just trying to describe that room to you guys so you knew exactly what room I was talking about. Another question for you, and I don't mean to be prying into your personal life, and if I ask you any questions that at all that you're uncomfortable answering, then you just tell me that and we'll move on, because I appreciate your cooperation, and the last thing I want to do is impose upon that cooperation. But can you tell us, please, just generally what kind of sexual experience you had prior to this confrontation with Jeffrey? Yeah, sure. A close family friend had sexually abused me, and I was on the streets at 13 years old. I was picked up by a 67-year-old man named Ron Eppinger, who did exactly what Jeffrey did with me, abuse and violate my youthfulness. And I was with him for 6 months. So he was gone, and then I had this boyfriend who was like my school friend from young days, but we just kept in contact with each other, and we were on and off constantly, and that was Tony Figueroa. And there was also another younger guy who was near my age, Michael. I can't remember his last name. But yeah, there. I mean, this girl does not have a good memory. There wasn't like a string of men or anything, but there was Ron, like I told you, and he was the first guy expecting me to do so-called disgusting affairs. Jeffrey actually knew Ron, which was quite weird when I told Jeffrey the story about Ron, and Jeffrey had actually met him, and yeah. Anyways, just another story, and yeah, there was a couple men, but that gives you an idea. Now, when you described the photographs in the room as pornographic, tell me just a little bit about the photographs, if you would, please. First, how many of them were there? At least 100. Like I said, they covered the room from the ceiling, not the ceiling, but the top of the edge of the wall to the bottom of the floor. I want to say at least 100, even more. They could have been more in the boxes. Some of them were A4 photographs, like the large size. Some of the naked posing, you know, positions, sexy positions. So A4 is the regular printer paper. Others were, you know, some girls had bikinis on. It wasn't so pornographic. But it was all women, and it was all in a sexual nature. Were there photographs where more than one person appeared? Oh, yes, plenty of them. There are lots of naked photographs. I mean, I was just trying to give you a visual range. There was anything from 5x6s to 4x8s to 8x4s. Some of them had frames. Some of them were out of frames. But they're all, like I said, they were all women, and they were all sexual in nature. Was it your impression that there were 100 photos of 100 different people, or were there multiple photos of the same woman or girl? There were definitely a lot of different girls. I mean, it wasn't easy to sit there and say you weren't finding 5 girls out of some photos, no. Were there 100 different ones? There could have been pictures of some girls. I really couldn't get close necessarily to actually recognize faces or anything like that. But if you know, the range of them were all different, majority of them were different, yeah. Did there ever come a point in time when you became aware that a photograph of you had been added to the collection? Yes, there was. Ghislain took several nude photographs of me for Jeffrey. So yeah, there were pictures of me, and there were pictures. He wasn't shy. He wasn't the only... That wasn't the only place in the house that he kept the photos. He liked photos all over his house. If you looked in his den or on his desk or in on the hall table, giant hall table in his house, there were at least 100 photos of girls in frames. Not all of them were naked. A lot of the ones that were all around his house were not naked girls posing pornographically. Some were pictures of celebrities and politicians he had known, or things like that, or had pants on or whatever. But yeah, there was a lot of mixed photographs in the outside ones. Were there any photographs or girls of young women that you knew or that you subsequently came to know that you saw in the house? Yeah, there was. There was pictures of Nadia Bjornik, pictures of Sarah Kellen, pictures of Emmy, pictures of me, pictures of the regulars, but a lot of the girls, sometimes Jeffrey could have like 7 girls a day, and he would only see those girls once if he got bored. I don't know. These weren't my days. I heard he's gotten a lot sloppier since I left, so I don't know anyways. But when I knew him, there was just, it seemed there's such an influx of girls coming in and out. So did I recognize a lot of them? Maybe, maybe not. But then they were all definitely beautiful. They were all ranging in age, some of them young, some of them older, in their 20s. I mean, it was just, they were all beautiful. So he was into women, right? Why would he not have 20-year-olds? Or why would he have 20-year-olds? Okay, Scarolo. Give me a second. Scarolo. He told us about the first visit. Was there any discussion on the occasion of that first visit about your returning? Yes, they were very pleased with me after that encounter was finished. The sexual encounter. He went and told me I did well and I have a lot of a potential to become a massage therapist, and if I like, I could return tomorrow, you know, and do the same thing and get paid $200 an hour. So Jeffrey insisted that I come after work and over the next $200 an hour. And over the next few days, I guess the relationship grew into more. And within a couple weeks, not even a couple weeks, maybe a week, I'd quit Mar-a-Lago, and I was working for Jeffrey full time. Okay, let's talk about your job in Mar-a-Lago, if we could. You said that your dad was working there. What was his position at Mar-a-Lago? He was a maintenance supervisor, I think that's what it was called. He like managed the tennis courts and air conditioners and things like that. What is your dad's full name? Sky William Roberts. He's just still living here in South Florida now. No, he's not. He's in California. Okay, is your dad aware of what is currently going on with regard to your having made public statements about your relationship with Jeffrey? Yes, he's well aware of it. I told my family even before all this stuff came out because they were the first ones contacted by the journalist from Mail on Sunday. I know that they, the Mail on Sunday, printed that I had gone out and tried to. Excuse me. I mean, I think one of the photos said that I was angry that I saw Jeffrey and the prince walking together and that this is why I came out and went public with everything. Not true. I mean, I am angry about how they are still up to their old ways together and that they are still hanging out, but I didn't contact the Mail on Sunday and I didn't bring it out. I figured that everyone was going to bring it out anyway and I better bring it out the right way. He's known everything from the start, and my family is very supportive with everything that's going on. I'm kind of going to jump around a little bit, and I apologize for that. But since this subject has come up, tell me first of all why you are providing this cooperation to us. And I am certainly very appreciative of it, but I want you to tell us why it is you've chosen to spend time with us on the telephone and provide this information you are now providing. I'm out to help the bigger picture, you know? I think all of us can make a big difference in a lot of other people's lives. And I think that this has gone on long enough, and it's a big slap in my face that he can get away with hurting me so bad, let alone so many other girls, and just laugh about it. I guess I talk to you guys because I want to see the right thing happen, not just to him. But I want people in the world to understand this is not the way of life. You know, it's not acceptable to go out, procure young girls, and make them think that this is the way you should be living and that's all. Yeah, I guess my reason for doing it is to help the bigger picture. You know, I'm a big believer in karma, and I believe that good things will come back to you. So I guess that's why I'm doing this. Just for the record. Neither Brad nor I nor anyone representing that they have anything to do with us has made any promises to you. Is that correct? That is correct. I'll tell you, since this is our first conversation, that nobody has made me feel like I've been bribed or bought or had to say anything. I've told you anything that I know from my own self, not something somebody told me. If anything, Brad's been extra careful not to tell me anything and let me do all the talking, so it's quite opposite, I think. All right. Let's get back then to the story of your relationship with Jeffrey. And we've talked about your first encounter with him and how it evolved from that into your full-time employment with Jeffrey. But what were you doing at Mar-a-Lago before you quit Mar-a-Lago? I was just a locker room attendant, and sometimes I did babysitting for the rich and famous, so I wasn't anything big. I worked in the spa area. That's why I was studying anatomy, because I was really, really interested in becoming a massage therapist. At the locker room, I didn't do much. I mean, I was making tea for a living. I would, you know, make sure the toilet paper had a little triangle in it after everybody went to the toilet, or wipe down the water from the basin. You know, it was a very easy peasy job. Did you get that job through your dad? Yeah, my dad got me the job. Okay. And you were only 15 years old at the time. Were they aware of how old you were at Mar-a-Lago? Of course, definitely. We had to go through extensive. You know, we had to get drug tests and ID tests and so on and so forth. I mean, Mantas is very strict on employment. Yeah, everybody knew. Okay. Was there ever any conversation with Glenn about how old you were before you were taken to Jeffrey's mansion? No, she didn't ask me how old I was from the start. But when I did get to Jeffrey's mansion, it was discussed how old I was. With whom? During the entire hour of what I call the legitimate massage I was giving him, it was cat and mouse games getting information from me to find out who I am. Am I willing participant in these kinds of things? And how I would react if they were about to take the next step. But they got information off of me, and they got my age, they got my a little bit of my history. So they knew I was, you know, not very stable at home. And they knew that, you know, I was actually interested in making my life better by studying. So what they were offering me was a chance to become a legitimate masseuse, but it was getting trained. They would have people show me how to work the body and be called a massage therapist and get me books on it. And, you know, keep me interested. And every time, you know, I was with Jeffrey, literally was about massages. I don't mean just going in and having sex with him. I mean massage, because it would always start with massage, and then it would lead into sometimes other things. All right, I'm going to go over comments now, guys. An average amount. I'm not saying either way, but PTSD from abuse can cause memory loss. They get groomed into thinking it's okay. Maybe so, but what's the parents' excuse? A lot of these girls weren't so young and naive either. Many had boyfriends that were sexually active before they met J.E. One was older doing pornos. I think it's like the music industry. The parents get in money too and get blinded by the rich and famous. Jufre. So this is part three of my dictation of the Ghislaine Maxwell's documents. I've got to take a break, guys. I'm getting kind of tired after an hour straight of dictation. I hope you are enjoying this. This was definitely the juiciest session of dictation that I have done so far. And if people are just joining, I would encourage you to listen to the whole thing. If you like getting into the nitty-gritty, talking about sex and stuff, because this conversation between Scarola, who is her attorney's attorney, her being Virginia and Edwards, is quite in the weeds, and she definitely gets into details about her sexual exploits with Jeffrey. And That being said, if you guys enjoyed this, please give me a, I did it again, didn't I? Give me a sub. It's free to do so. Hit that like button. Squish that like button, smash it, whatever you want to do. And if you are so inclined, feel open to giving me a donation or joining my Patreons for $1 or $2 a month. Or you can do more. You can choose any amount you would like. I also have my GoFundMe and Subscribestar and PayPal if you want to make just a one-time donation as well. Again, I am getting somewhat censored, so I'm losing some videos. For example, my George Webb video, as well as a video I just posted about this doctor in Tampa, Florida. That may get taken down, but regardless, I would implore people to go to Brand NewTube. It is a censorship-free website, and they have dubbed me or knighted me a Rhodium account on there, which is pretty rare. Only a few people get that designation, and I am fortunate enough to have received that. And I'll just put my BNT link in there, and all of my content is on there. So all my George Webb interviews, as well as any other content that may get censored in the future, will be on there, because they don't censor at all over there. So please go check that out and give me a sub over there. I really appreciate it. That being said, I will continue with this dictation some more, maybe later today. And that being said, all the best from the Midwest. This is Addy Ads, Attican Skywalker, the Lonely Ronin, the Samurai Without a Master, YouTube's Chosen One. Stay frosty, folks, and until next time.